And welcome to this week's Light of Life podcast from the Hensby Life Group. Listen to the end and you will hear a prayer from me, Charlotte.
Whey!
We're recording this in one of our Life Group sessions. So we have tonight, or this morning, myself, Jack. There's Hannah next to me.
Hello.
And we've also got Gemma.
Hi.
Danny.
Hello.
And Jonathan with us.
Hi.
And Elizabeth asked us to reflect back on the life group sessions we've been doing, which is on the theme cultivating spiritual practices. And we've been studying these for the last couple of months, and I think we've done pretty much all of them, bar one. And we will try and do a whistle-stop tour of our thoughts around those. So you're most probably with us for the next 3 hours, but no, more like 15. And if anybody hasn't listened to the studies, I'll just recap what they were. We started looking at prayer and study, celebration, which was one we didn't actually cover as a group together, service, silence and solitude, fasting, confession, and finally, Sabbath. So I've put some questions together to help us focus our discussions, and we'll work through those over the next 10 or 15 minutes. So looking back through the studies, which of the practices stood out to us individually or as a group, and why? And were there any that we connected with or really struggled with? Don't all shout at once.
No, I think I struggled with fasting, I'm not going to lie.
I think we all struggle with fasting.
I think food like features in so much of our health group, doesn't it?
Yeah, especially during lockdown.
But it is, I mean, I've never fasted often. I haven't fasted often, but I think it's a good habit to get into, most probably from the study that we did. Both spiritually and I think we discussed, or I've seen recently, kind of even from like your own health, it can be
really beneficial.
But
I know, Gemma, you've been in the leadership team, you've been doing fasting, have you?
Yeah, so we've been doing Monday mornings, so skipping breakfast, and then this Monday we actually fasted for the whole day, and we then sort of met up for some, you know, we broke our fast in the evening. And I was driving home from Yarmouth and I felt like I was going to be really sick. And I thought, oh my goodness, I can't do this. I'm going to have something to eat when I get home. And then I was like, no, just pray. And it really made me pray. And it passed and I felt fine the rest of the day. Like I didn't have any hunger pains, nothing. And I thought, you know what? There's people in this world that go through more than the slight hunger pain that I just had. And it did really make me sort of focus. And I did pray every time I sort of had a thought about food. But yeah, it's quite hard to fit into your day when you're sort of, well, I suppose if you're busy, then it might be easier, I suppose. But if you're sat at your desk working and, you know, you kind of, yeah, I don't know, it's different sort of times in your life when it's sort of more focuses you more than other times, I guess. But now I've really I thought I would struggle, but I've actually really enjoyed it, and I'm going to carry on doing it every Monday as a leadership team as well. So yeah, that one actually really stood out for me, probably because like Dan, it was probably the one that I was dreading.
I like the idea about fasting about something specific. So in the Bible, Jesus often fasted before he had to make an important decision or he knew something significant was coming up. And so I think that's something that I can see the value in fasting regularly as kind of a spiritual discipline. But also, if you can't fit that into your life, then if there's something significant coming up, trying to intentionally fast before that happens to focus your mind and pray. Mm. So Jack and I, we did fast the week after we did the fasting study. for one day, didn't we?
We skipped
our lunch meal. So we went for our working day without eating.
Yes.
And that was the day when the elections were happening. So I took the chance, like every time I felt hungry, to pray about the elections and that people would go out and vote and use their kind of right to vote, and that people would choose the right decisions and the right people with the right intentions would get into positions of authority. So I think I liked the idea of kind of fasting for a particular purpose.
And I think the only other thing that stood out for me on that one was, I know Elizabeth mentioned about, you know, it's quite a personal thing that you shouldn't, you know, always share with people, but actually with my husband Rob, it was quite a good sort of conversation point. It's like, oh, are you having something to eat? No, I'm not today, I'm gonna fast. And then it like opened up a really good conversation about why. So I think actually sometimes it's okay to share like quite personal reasons for doing things to get sort of, you know, a really good conversation starter. So that really stood out for me as well, actually.
And we talked in our group, didn't we, about, because we had a new person who's joined us, and she said she knew about other religions doing fasting as part of their spiritual discipline, but she didn't know it was a feature of Christianity because it's not really part of our calendar of things that we do. So that was interesting to hear her perspective, and that she felt challenged that was something she could try as well.
I quite like the silence and solitude session, or rather the what it then challenged me to do, because, you know, we all live busy lives, and especially, I can't remember if that was whilst we were still in homeschooling lockdown or not, but there was never kind of like a moment of silence or solitude during that time. I think it was just after, because I managed to go out the day after on a bike ride and consciously spent time quiet on the bike, but more taking in God's kind of creation and being more observant, I guess, of
mindful,
yeah, of what God has created around us. But I guess less specifically, I quite like the sessions as a whole. They're kind of a good framework almost to, if you're maybe not struggling, but what am I trying to say? Kind of, it gives you a nice framework to build your life around, your Christian life. And you can pick out those sessions and think, oh, right, well, you know, maybe I could develop my prayer life a bit more, or the service side of things. I think personally, I could most probably develop all of them quite a lot more.
Yeah, gives you an idea what a good balance is supposed to look like.
Yes, it's that balance, isn't it? So you're not specifically right just all the time prayer sort of thing. It's kind of like, well, actually, maybe I could be a bit more balanced and develop some of these other practices.
The Sabbath one, I quite like the Sabbath one. I think I'm probably well known for working too much.
Yep.
And but I do appreciate a good Sabbath. You do need it. It does have a lot of beneficial effects. And I think if you keep not resting, especially while there hasn't been church on, it's been tempting for me to just go to work because, you know, what else can you do? Sort of.
Mm.
And I have the opportunity there and the demand. So it's very tempting for me to just go. So that's helped me make a bit of a conscious effort to have a bit of downtime, I think.
Yeah,
definitely. Yeah, I think it's good to have kind of like, if you can sort of call upon different sort of methods. Like, I think we all get into this sort of a bit of a habit. And I do feel like parts of these have all got a sort of habit thing about them. But actually, we might just fall into maybe one or two of those practices, when actually we should be encompassing lots of different sort of elements of our spiritual lives. I think trying to sort of work them into your sort of daily life is definitely something I'll take away from it.
We all have kind of strengths and weaknesses, don't we, as humans, and I guess to try and round those off. It's good to develop the areas that we're weak in and step outside of our comfort zones a bit.
Yeah, definitely.
Try and be a more rounded Christian and person.
Mm. Yeah, some of us are very good at having a Sabbath. Name no names.
I remember very clearly doing the study session because it was the first time that we met together face to face for a long time when we were allowed to meet in a group outside, and it was quite cold and we were sat in our garden in the dark around the fire pit. But it was like, it's good because we're together and we have blankets and
I had a sleeping bag.
Yeah, we listened to Ivan's talk about study, and so I think I'll always remember that because it was like a significant event. But also, I'd never really thought of study as a spiritual discipline. I can see the value of study, but not necessarily from a spiritual sense. So I like the, I suppose you would say reading the Bible is an important thing to do, but study is a bit more in depth than just reading the Bible, isn't it?
And I think another thing that we did, which I liked as well, was we kind of switched it up. So I think the first one was about prayer, I think. And we, Jonathan played, we, at the end of our sessions, we obviously always pray. But on that week, Jonathan played his guitar and we just all listened and prayed in our heads. And I think, I thought that was a really good sort of, you know, changing it up a little bit, you know, doing something different. So I really enjoyed that. Thank you, Jonathan.
So are there any of the practices that we have kind of adopted more into our lives since we've been studying these sessions? I know, Gemma, you said the fasting thing. I know I mentioned the silence and solitude, but it's not like it's a regular occurrence that I've started to adopt more. I don't know if anybody else has tried to specifically pick up one of these or two and adopt them into your lives more.
Yeah, I've definitely been trying to do a bit more prayer and a bit more Sabbath.
Yeah.
And I think, like, obviously my fasting thing has naturally led me to pray more, just because it's that sort of reminder.
Yeah, and that's they have that kind of knock-on effect, don't they, as well, I think, like you say.
Yeah, the other thing when we talked about confession is Elizabeth suggested kind of doing a liturgy or something in the evening to focus your mind and kind of go back over the day and confess things.
Mm-hmm.
And we have got the Light of Life liturgy stuck up in various places around the house. Which I often will look at when I'm brushing my teeth before going to bed. But another thing that we do together as a couple is we listen to, is it Lectio 365? Is that what it's
Lectica,
called?
Yeah,
which is an app that we have on our phone. And every day there's a kind of a meditation that you can listen to before you go to bed and when you get up in the morning, which has prayers and Bible verses. And the evening one has a kind of confession time within it where it leads you through thinking about your day and confessing it, and so that's become something that we do every day and I really value, and I think it helps me kind of switch off and go to sleep as well. So I definitely recommend that app if you want to download that, Lectio 365.
I
was gonna say I can must be post the link in the talk or something.
It's free.
So just moving on, at the end of the sessions that we did last week, Elizabeth posed a couple of questions which lead on from this. So I know we've been talking about what we might have been doing, but the first question, which was, which of the spiritual disciplines are you going to cultivate the most in the coming weeks and months? So are there any of those that you think you should or want to kind of cultivate more?
I think service is going to be one for me. As we come out of lockdown, there's going to be sort of things starting up and sort of people maybe a bit cautious, you know, sort of being there for people who feel a bit cautious about coming out of lockdown, I guess. And things going on with the church as well. So, I think service will definitely come into life a little bit more for me than it has done over the last maybe year, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think Sabbath is something that I've been able to do more during lockdown.
Yeah.
And so not wanting to let that all go when life gets a bit more back to normal is try and hold on to some of that precious family time and rest time. And not just go back to normal busyness.
Yeah, definitely. Me too.
Yeah.
Is there any that stick out for you, Jonathan, that you think you would be interested or want to develop?
I don't know. I suppose, I don't know really. Maybe prayer, perhaps. I just see this. All the ones that have been listed are things that are just natural process. I don't see it as something as, perhaps that's my wrong thinking, I don't know. But I just see it as something that is a part of, you know, your relationship with God. You do, the only one I haven't done, I would say, well, I know I haven't done it, is fasting. That was the hardest one. That would be the one. Mainly because I understand all the things, like Hannah said, about making perhaps big decision making, like Jesus did, she mentioned that. But to me, in my mind, with fasting side, I don't always see what it achieves, if I'm honest. The fasting that I, it's not so much about food. The way I see fasting is in the Bible, is, I think Elizabeth mentioned it slightly, and that was about things of justice. I think she quoted Isaiah, didn't she? And that famous verse that, you know, when God says the fasting I require is, to feed the hungry and that particular thing. So that's how I see it. And also I see it in the way Jesus spoke. He said to his disciples that this is the fasting that I see more so, really, is that when he said that, you know, he was asked by some teachers of the law once why they weren't abiding in the Sabbath. They were picking ears of corn, and Jesus says, does the guest at a wedding, I can't remember it now, but he says basically he was saying, linking fasting with mourning and repentance, and that there would be a time when Jesus would no longer be around his disciples. So, and I see that sometimes, that when God seems sometimes a little distant at times, that's in the Christian life, that is a kind of fasting for me. When those, you know, so I don't necessarily link it to whether I'm going to, what I eat for the day or anything like that. So I see fasting in that side. I know it's both, but plus I don't like the thought. I don't think if I starve myself that I would be more likely to pray or...
just get angry.
Yeah, I don't think I'd probably get irritable.
I'll definitely be keeping out of your way.
It wouldn't encourage me, I don't think, to pray or to be more godly, I don't think. So I think I'll keep
I'd be praying for you, trust me.
I think it'd have the reverse effect. So, on the serious side, that's how I see the fasting side, is that there are parts in the Christian life that maybe where God is silent, or almost a bit like where, although Jesus does promise us that he is with us, there are times that you look at the Psalms, you know, where David's crying out sometimes, and I see that as partly is a fast in that respect. So that's... That was the one, I think. prayer as well, in the respect that I read recently that, I see a little podcast on my phone from, I think it was John Piper. I listen to him now and again, and you know, he said there are certain things on, there were certain things he quoted now on prayer that I hadn't sort of considered before. I can't remember what they all are now coming to mind, but so I won't bother. But yeah, so there's a few, but I just see it as something, most of these things, apart from perhaps fasting for me, is things that you already do, aren't they? You know, everyone in the church serves, doesn't they? I'm pretty good at silence and solitude because I'm on my own. Prayer we do. Yeah, what was the other one? We study, which is obviously, I think, probably the most important one. You know, studying and knowing the word of God, which I think God does, doesn't he, in every Christian, I think. You know, God says he gives you the Holy Spirit to reveal, he reveals things over time in relationship, his word to you. So I see that side of it.
You see, I think, Jonathan, that the reason you say we just do this stuff, so I always look at you as somebody who does read their Bible quite a lot and looks to study their Bible a lot. So I think you're coming at it from a point of view that, well, yeah, I know this because I've read it, I guess. Whereas me, I'm kind of not so well studied. So I quite look at this list and think, oh, actually, there's a lot more I could do in a lot of these areas. But I think that's a good quality that you have there.
We're not unnecessarily starting from the same place, are we?
No, everyone isn't. But I still think all these things are, you know, I look at it because I always look at things in the respect that a lot of you, well, all of you have been probably Christians or brought up in the Christian faith right from young, haven't you? And that wasn't so for me. So I see it from the perspective that before coming to church, before learning or hearing God's word, the ordinary person doesn't do any of these things. Not one. Mm-hmm. And or very rarely. And it's just something that I think it's part of what God, it's not, I don't see it so much of, I know that's one thing I do struggle with, is that we do have a part to play in it. We do it, you know, it's not all just down to, but it's mainly, I see it as God's work in the individual, and everyone has elements of all of these, you know, some stronger and weaker than others, obviously, but you know, so that's how I see it. So I don't see it as something I, yeah, and perhaps you do need to practice it a bit more, but certain things, but I just think, you know, it has happened naturally over time.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool. Well, I think we have tried to do a whistle-stop tour of all the subjects, touching on pretty much all of them. And we're going to close, and we have a slightly different change of tack in our closing. And Charlotte's going to read us a little prayer. She's been sitting very quietly in the corner, and she's going to read a prayer to close the session for us. So when you're ready, Charlotte, over to you.
Jesus, friend of little children, be a friend to me. Take my hand and ever keep me close to thee. Never leave me nor forsake me. Ever be my friend, for I need thee from life's dawning to its end. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
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 Amen.